Ken Holland, president of hockey ops and GM for the Edmonton Oilers. Of course, the architect to that incredible run for the Detroit Red Wings, including all those Stanley Cups, and now as well a future inductee into the 2020 Hockey Hall of Fame as a builder. Ken, welcome to the show and congratulations.
Thanks, David. I'm very honored and very humbled. It was an amazing day yesterday for myself, my family.
I got to start there because it's not that you're a Hall of Famer that maybe surprised anyone, including yourself, but it's the timing of it. I mean, you've got a lot still left to do. Your resume is not finished yet. You know, you're in year one of a five-year deal with the Oilers. Were you surprised at all that, you know, with a lot more left in the tank, here you are going into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I was very surprised to get the call yesterday. I had, I knew it was Hall of Fame week. I hadn't watched it. I knew I was, there was a lot of talk about speculation on Jerome McGinley, and I was anxious to see who was going to be in the 2020 Hall of Fame class. Hadn't really thought about myself. I was, I guess there's a piece of me hoping that somewhere down the road that I built a resume that was worthy of consideration. And yesterday around 1 o'clock here, the phone rang, and so it was a 403 number. I didn't have the name, so I didn't know if I should pick up or not, because sometimes I don't pick up if I don't see the name. And I picked up, and it was Lanny McDonald on the other end of the line. And certainly when I knew Lanny was there, it clicked in a hurry that there was a reason that Lanny McDonald was calling me. So it was that moment it hit me that I was being informed by Lanny that I was part of the class of 2020. So it was an incredible call. And then quickly told my wife and had enough time to call each one of our four children so that they heard it before the news broke. So it was a very special moment.
Fantastic. Stewie, go ahead.
Congratulations. Last time you were on the show, you were talking about you almost became a door-to-door vacuum salesman, and now you're in the Hockey Hall of Fame. So when did you think that being in the Hall of Fame was going to be a possibility?
Oh, boy, Stewie, I don't know. First off, for the longest time, never. Never in my wildest dreams. I played 9 years of pro. I'm an American League goaltender. I played, I think, four NHL games. I became a scout. I was a chief scout. I think near the end when we won the cup in 08. And I don't know, in the last two, three years, you kind of think if you can hang around long enough and you can win enough games that maybe again your resume would be worthy of consideration. So it's not something, it's not why I got in the game. We all got in the game because we love the game and we love to play the game. And I'm so fortunate. 1985, my minor league coach, Bill Dineen, Jim Devolano called me in May of 85 to tell me that I was not being re-signed. I was a 29-year-old, 5'8", career minor league goaltender. Wasn't a hot commodity at the time. And Bill Dineen, a couple weeks later, was talking to Jim Devolano, and Jimmy D said he was looking for a Western scout. And Bill Dineen put in a massive plug for me, and Jimmy D and Neil Smith took his advice and hired me as a scout. And I was fortunate to go to work and under Neil Smith, under Jim Devolano, and got to stay in a game that I love. And when you're doing something you love, you never go to work. So I've been fortunate. I haven't worked very much in my life, so I'm very, very lucky.
Wise words from Ken Holland, the president of Hockey Ops and GM of the Edmonton Oilers, and an inductee into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Berkey.
Well, I'm really excited, Kenny. Congratulations. Because there's not many guys I could say congratulations. And by the way, I played against you.
Yeah, I know. Did you score a goal on me? Pretty well everybody else did.
I don't think so. I didn't score many goals. But Stewie, I sent you a note about it this morning. Quickly tell the vacuum stories, because that'll give some young people hope.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to use that story on the inductee my one last time. you know, I played 9 years of pro. I was 29 years of age. It's 1985. Cindy and I have got three children born in 81, 83, and 84, so basically 4-2-1. I've got a grade 12 education after playing 9 years of pro hockey. We come back to Vernon, B.C. in the summer of 85. I got a job at the Vernon Liquor Store for the summer. Cindy's a nurse. She's got a job at the Vernon Hospital. So we're living really good from May through September. We're bringing in two salaries. Life is good, and I'm starting to – my agent is starting to tell me that he's having a hard time finding a job. Hard time finding a job. Goes to Memorial Cup, having a hard time finding a job for me, a hockey job. And Cindy and I are talking, and we've just sort of decided that we're going to stay in Vernon for a couple of years. She's going to work at the hospital. I'm going to go to Okanagan College. We'll go to Vancouver and UBC, and I'll get a degree. And one day I come home from the liquor store, and my mom tells me that Cindy – is up at Lakeview Pool with our three kids, and I'm supposed to go join her. So I go downstairs, change, get my bathing suit on, and come upstairs. And my mom says to me, "Ken, you know, while Cindy's gone, I've been hearing the phone's been ringing." Because we were living in the basement at my mom's place at that time. We were looking for a place to live, to rent. And my mom said to me, "Ken, what are you going to do if you don't get a hockey job?" And I lay out the program for her. And she said, "Ken, you've got three kids, 4-2-1. You're 29 years of age. Your job is to bring home a salary and put food on the table." And I said, "Well, Mom, I get grade 12 education." She says, "Ken, the Vernon News adds Electrolux vacuum cleaners are looking for the salesman in the area. I've called the 800 number. The job is for sale." She said, "I've been an Electrolux fan since it's the best product on the market. It's a great product. You got the gift to gab." And she says, "I've already called the number. The job is open, and you get like 40% of every sale." I said, "Well," and she says, "I can't. I'm going to buy your first vacuum." And before I can say anything, she said to me, "Ken, I've talked to Grandma Eastbrecht. That was my mom's mom, who lived four doors down on 23rd Street. She's your second sale." I thought, boy, this program's going pretty good. And I said, "Mom, any idea of the status of Aunt Emma's vacuum? She lived two doors down." And she says, "Ken, she's family. Family takes care of family." So I thought, boy, this vacuum cleaner sales business is going pretty good. And then I thought, I got to leave 23rd Street and head down 39th Avenue and start going door to door. And 2 days later, 3 days later, honest to goodness, it wasn't very – a short time later, the phone rang. It was Neil Smith calling me about Western Canada scouting job, and I took the job. So you never know where life is going to take you. And certainly, I've been fortunate. If not for Bill Dineen recommending to Neil Smith, and then my relationship with Neil Smith, as we all go along the path of life, you need people along the path to help guide you, look out for you. And I've been fortunate that I've had a lot of people help me along the way.
Ken, that's a brilliant story. That's great. And Berkey's right. If there's not inspiration for any young person out there wondering about following a certain career path, you just delivered it right there. And considering that story and the circuitous route you took to end up now a Hockey Hall of Famer, what are you most proud of?
You know what? I'd like to think you know what? To me, life's about people. It's about relationships. I consider myself I like to be loyal. I like, you know, I friends that I played junior hockey with back in the Medicine Hat days. I got a ton of texts yesterday. Don Murdoch, Brian Hill, Cliff Lane, Gary Benson. They're still friends. They're still friends of mine. I got a ton of texts and calls from lots of the players. You know, Nick Lidstrom texted me this morning and talked to Steve Yzerman and Chris Chelios. And so life's about relationships. And I'm most proud of the relationships that I've built. Yesterday I called, you know, Jim Nill to talk briefly to Jimmy D. I want to talk to Jimmy D again tonight or tomorrow night. I've called Scotty Bowman. I want to thank the people that have really been, when you go in the builders category for me, it's about a whole lot of people doing a lot of work together. And I was so fortunate to have a whole lot of talented people on the ice and off the ice that we're all pulling together with with the goal, the dream of winning as much as we can. Scotty Bowman really kind of set the, with a lot of work done drafting players, and Brian Murray came in, and Doug McLean, and then Scotty came in, and getting the, once we started to win as a team, everybody was buying into the team success versus individual success. So it was about relationships. It was about sacrifice. That's what's most important to me, is the texts and the calls and the emails that I've gotten over the last 24 hours from people that have been really important in my life, reaching out and congratulating me. And that's why I want to make sure that I try to get back to all them over the next couple of days to thank them for, 'cause it means a lot to me when they've reached out to me.
Well said. Stewie.
You're obviously a former goalie, and you've had a lot of great goaltenders over the years play for you. Is there a goaltender out there that's not in the Hall of Fame that you'd like to see get a little bit of a stronger consideration?
Well, I'm a big Chris Osgood fan. When I was the chief scout living in Medicine Hat, he played for the Medicine Hat Tigers, Ozzie. It was his draft year. I had started a summer ball hockey league a couple of years early, May to July, where you play on the rink with the orange ball and the cement. And a lot of the junior players, the Medicine Hat Tigers, when their season would end, they came and joined our ball hockey league. Well, Chris Osgood came and played on our ball hockey team. And about 2 weeks before the draft, as I got to, I'd watched him play, and I said, they pulled him aside one day, and I said, Ozzie, has anybody talked to you? No, no. I said, just so you know, we're going to take you in the third round. If you're still on the board, you might be in the second. We ended up taking Ozzie in the third round of the draft, and he went on. I think he won 325 games for the Detroit Red Wings, and obviously was in the net when we won the Cup in 98, was in the net when we won the Cup in 2008, and he got about 400 and something. Over 400 wins. So I'm forever grateful for what Ozzie did for the, and you know, he played on a team with a lot of high profile big name players, so he wasn't getting the it was about our high octane offense, and he was okay being in the background and being in a situation where he didn't get the glory. If we lost, he probably got a lot of the negativity, but he would be Chris Osgood. He would be Chris Osgood. I'm a big Chris Osgood fan. He's still a good friend of mine. And again, he won over 400 games, so he would be the guy for me.
Berkey,
one thing that's changed since you started working in management, Kenny, is the buildings that we all play in. Talk about that. Talk about the new building in Detroit and the one you're in now in Edmonton.
Well, I've been. They're two of the most beautiful buildings in the league. Now, obviously, they're two of the newest. So as every time you get a building, the next one has got can talk to the people before and fine tune and add. But having both in Detroit and in Edmonton, having a practice facility attached is a massive advantage. With concerts now. It doesn't affect if a concert comes in. In the old days in Joe Louis Arena, if a concert came in or something, we had to, the guys would dress at Joe Louis Arena, jump in their car and drive a mile or three, 4 miles away to a rink and practice and come back. Now you're in your rink every day, and the gym in both rinks are massive. There's the players have breakfast and lunch at the rink every day. Just the facilities. Today versus 20 years ago, I mean, it's night and day, but certainly it's important for athletes to make sure that they're fed well, they got strength coaches. It's a way more involved sport today, and as an athlete, it's a year-round commitment. What you eat, what time you go to bed, how you train. These are all things important in maximizing your potential, because everybody else, if you're not in the gym, that everybody, all your competition, not only as in on your team, but on all these other teams, for the most part, they've made those commitments and they've got structure in their life. That's what the professional athletes do, and that's why the facilities are so important, so that to allow these professional athletes to have that structure.
You got one thing wrong in both buildings. They're only 85 feet wide, the ice.
Yeah, you and I have talked about, well, it's just that I think obviously I was in Detroit, and Gordie Howe was in his day was a big man. I think Gordie was like 6'1". And you talk about all these great players. I was a big Leaf fan growing up, and Davey Keon and Norm Ullman. I think they were 5'8" to 5'10", 5'11", Pocket Rocket, Richard, and all those players. And, now I remember when I started scouting in the mid-'80s, 85, 86, the first draft. And, defensemen, where they were 5'11" to 6 feet, 6'1". There was 6'3" and 6'4" players, for the most part, didn't. There was the odd player like that, but there wasn't many. Well, now there's lots of those players. So certainly the rink has stayed the same, and the players have gotten a lot bigger. But I think that league has done a great job in the rules. Even though we haven't changed the size of the rink, we've made the game. The game's faster. The game is more skillful than it's ever been, but certainly the league has done a great job in adjusting the rules to make sure that as the bigger players come in, it's still an entertaining, exciting game.
There's a couple different ways I want to go in this interview, Kenny, and one's about really digging in on the Hall of Fame stuff, but I'm also interested in your thoughts on the pending possible resumption of play. How do you see things unfolding? Because, there's just so many logistical barriers still in place. How do you see this all unfolding over the next couple of weeks into the next month and a bit?
Well, I think everybody's hoping that we're going to play. Obviously, we've got some dates. We got July the 10th that we're all shooting for now. I know that I've been talking to our players, and we had a conference call about 10 days ago, and lots of our players are over here over the next week are planning to get into Edmonton. Obviously, if they're coming from outside the country, they've got to quarantine for a period of time, and we're trying to get them all into the country, into Edmonton, so that they can be ready the week of July 10th, maybe a few days before we've got them all cleared for health reasons, and we can start to push our way towards July the 10th. And I think everybody, obviously, beyond that, waiting for the NHL and the NHLPA are obviously working real hard to find other dates, the critical dates, and put a schedule together and when the games start. But hopefully the most important thing, obviously, is the health of our players. I know that the NHL, the PA, and all the health officials, and I've talked a lot to our team doctor in Edmonton, Dr. Naidu, and he's talking a lot to the health officials in Alberta, and we're trying to make sure that we're doing everything we can to have as safe an environment as possible. So the hope is, obviously, we're going to get up, and the plan is we're going to get up and running, and we're going to have a Stanley Cup champion at the end of end of September, early October, and whoever wins the Stanley Cup is going to be a worthy champ. It's going to be best of sevens, and for us to be a champ, it's now we got to win 5 series instead of 4. So it's there's 16 teams in the play-in series. So obviously there's lots of concerns, but hopefully we do a great job and keep COVID out and find some safe environments and do what our people do best and play hockey and try to entertain hockey fans around the world.
Well, we only have about a minute left with you, Ken. So just what about the prospect of Edmonton being a hub city? What can you fill in the blanks for us at all there?
Well, I think it would be an incredible for a whole lot of reasons. I think Alberta Health and Canadian Health have done a great job on COVID, and they've done a great job in Alberta and Edmonton. It's an attached practice facility, practice rink. You've got a fabulous hotel across the street in JW Marriott. It's great weather in terms of there's no humidity. There's going to obviously be lots of games day after day after day. So I think that Edmonton checks all the boxes, and I know it's obviously down to the one of the last but six teams, and they're going through the final process here, and I'm expecting the next few days to see if Edmonton is one of the final two cities. It would be great for Alberta. It'd be great for our city, and hoping that Edmonton is going to be one of the two hub cities. And I think when people come there in the summertime, they're going to love Edmonton. It's a great city.